Verulam Sport.
Hello again, and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcast with your host, Tony Rice. Now, over the last 2 weeks, we've had, sadly, an awful lot of news, an awful lot of reporting going on about how people have utilized the power of social media rather negatively. And sadly, in 2021, I find odious and heinous, quite literally for racist factors. We've obviously had the English star footballers. We've had Lewis Hamilton getting grief via social media just this week. So, with that being the overarching nature of our media output at this time, I'm delighted to welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting Sonia Sophia Randhav, who is a living, breathing reminder to us all that we as a species, irrespective of caste, creed, colour, orientation, are capable of achieving remarkable positive things. So Sonia, welcome to Verulam Sports. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, honestly, it's great to speak with you. I consider myself terribly lucky, don't you know, to do what I do, get to speak to all kinds of interesting folk about sport, which I passionately love. And on that theme, again, I'm excited to learn about that new landmark achievement you've made. But just put me in the picture. Just, you know, I don't want this to come across like a job interview, but just tell me a little bit more about yourself, please.
Oh, it definitely didn't come across as a job interview. I think I just, I get a little bit overwhelmed, you know, because people have said so many like nice things over the past couple of months when I kind of announced it. So, so I am, I mean, you know, statistically, it's not really recorded, but from everyone that I've spoken to in the industry, I'm pretty much the first British Asian woman to obtain my boxing manager's license.
1 second. Sorry to cut your flow short. Just hit me up with that fact one more time, please.
Well, again, I'll repeat myself. Like I said, you know, it's not statistically or it's not being recorded or anything like that. But from, you know, speaking to so many people in the industry, it is known that I am probably or the first British Asian female to become a boxing manager, in this country. So, it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, just to kind of keep it as short and brief as possible. Mm-hmm. I've worked in boxing for an incredibly long time behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Been very fortunate to work with some amazing people inside and outside of the sport. So not just with boxers themselves, but getting to know promoters, getting to know boxing managers, kind of watching how they do things, starting off from kind of like the small hall shows at York Hall, which, by the way, is my favourite venue in the whole entire world. I love York Hall.
I mean, it's famous, isn't it? I mean, goodness me, pretty much the great and the good of British boxing have done the business there at York Hall.
I just love that old school feel to it. You know, it's so prestigious as well. I think it's actually probably the sixth best boxing venue in the world. It was something that I read ages ago, but I don't always pay attention to what I read because you just never know, do you? So it was always my kind of like, you know, I've done so much work with all the female boxers as well, which has probably been one of my proudest achievements because now everyone's talking about them. But I don't want to take full credit for that because I think the girls have been incredible by putting on fantastic performances, especially Fight Camp last year Eddie Hearn's back garden.
As a fan of pugilism, right? I would suggest right now, Katie Taylor, pound for pound, irrespective of gender, has got to be right up there, pound for pound supremo.
She's phenomenal. She kind of, I think Eddie Hearn did this perfectly. You know, he looked at Katie Taylor, she's reached out to him and said, you know, hey, I'd like to, you know, start my professional boxing career with you. He took his time, he tested the waters, and it ended up paying off well, didn't it? So now all the other females are kind of coming through the ranks. You've got Natasha Jonas is just a fantastic role model for the sport in general. You've got Savannah Marshall, who for me is probably the most technically gifted female fighter we have in this country. I could watch her fight all day. I've also had the privilege of, you know, working with Savannah, working with Natasha, working with Chantel Cameron. So they're all, you know, Natasha will become a world champion. I will say that now. But when you look at Chantel and Savannah, they are world champions, but it doesn't stop there. They are going to move on and obviously become, you know, their aim is to kind of unify their specific divisions. But in terms of my boxing manager's license, I've got things in place that I'm planning, but I'm currently actually taking a little bit of break away from the sports industry to focus on different things. I didn't get my boxing manager's license through the British board. I actually got it through BIBA, which is the British and Irish Boxing Association.
Just one second here, because this is crucial. Because, again, for me, it's inspiring to speak to women like yourself who have kind of put a flag in the mast to say, look, we're capable here and we will do every bit as good a job as anybody, respective of your gender. But until there are people like you, the ambassadors, so to speak, who twist positively the narrative, people always look a bit quizzical about those who are even attempting it, don't they? So talk to me a little bit about that. Were there people naysaying as you were going through this process?
When I initially approached the British Board of Boxing, they were really supportive. And it was funny, I actually wanted to go for my promoter's license, but I'm so glad I didn't, because flipping out probably would have ended up bankrupt, to be perfectly honest with you. But in order, and I do understand the way the British Board work, and I totally agree with it, you know, you've got to have a kind of routine and structure in place in order to obtain certain licenses. So in order for me to have got a manager's license through them, I would have had to have held another license for 3 years, I think. It was quite a long time ago, Tony, so I'm just trying to remember, you know, the whole kind of procedure when I went in to see them. But with the British and Irish Boxing Association, it was more the case that I've kind of proven myself, because I represented boxers doing their PR, their media, their sponsorship. So I'm not saying a boxing manager does all of that, but there are managers that will handle that for the boxers. But ultimately, it's about managing that boxer's career, taking care of them, looking after them, and making sure that, you know, they are well looked after, which I think some boxers feel that, you know, I'm not picking any managers out here. I've had the pleasure of talking to so many different boxing managers and promoters, and I think they're all great. I've not really got a bad word to say about anyone. And if I did, it's something that I would say to their face, as opposed to kind of going on a media platform and talking badly about someone.
Really interesting. But one of the things that is clear to me is that, as again, massive, massive fan of this sport, is that the beauty, I think, of boxing, like all sport, is that it gives a positive outlet for individuals. I mean, AJ Joshua, isn't he? He's very on the record of saying that his life could have gone in a completely different, rather more negative path, were it not for the fact that he happened to be really rather good at boxing. But the thing is, you know, from experience, I'm sure, whilst it's great to hear that you've had a very positive experience of the business of boxing, sadly, the history of boxing shows us that there are those who get bad advice, get bad, lots of hangers on, and all of a sudden everybody's your best friend. And then when, as they say in Rocky, the dust settles and all the smoke clears, all of a sudden those friends are no longer there. And a boxer, although having earned good purses, oftentimes struggles in later life. So talk to me a little bit about how crucial it is that people like you are going to be guiding our future stars very positively, so that they are well set come the end of any given career.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the wood there when you mentioned Anthony Joshua, because the one thing I will say about Anthony, let's forget about him as the boxer. Let's look at him as the brand.
Yes.
So we'll look at Anthony Joshua as the brand. He stuck with the same PR team that he had when he finished at the Olympics and decided to turn professional.
Yep.
He has stuck with Freddie Cunningham, who's his manager and kind of handles all of his commercial. I think Will obviously works. They all work for the same management company. So for me, not only has Anthony shown loyalty, he stuck with exactly the same people from the beginning, but they have created a career for him that when he finishes boxing, he's going to be completely fine.
And already beginning to jab and move in the promotional arena, isn't he?
And I think this is one of the biggest issues with boxers as a whole, that they need to understand it's all very well being a talented boxer, but we're in a different day and age now. And to be fair, I think it's always been like that. It's never been any different. You have to show a bit of personality. You have to engage with your fans. You know, you have to do as many media interviews as you possibly can to keep yourself out there in the public eye. You know, being professional. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've worked with some boxers that, you know, they've forgotten that they've got an interview. That's shocking. That's terrible. You wouldn't get that in football. You wouldn't get that in tennis or cricket. So it's, but then you have to look at them as well. No one's ever really guided them. They've never really been put in that position before. So it's, you know, it doesn't bother me, but it also, but what they need to understand, it reflects badly. But you'd never see Anthony Joshua forget that he's got an interview, because he has a solid team behind him that makes sure that everything runs smoothly for him. So what these boxers need to understand, it's all very well getting paid within the sport when you're fighting, but what are you going to do when your career finishes?
I think the greatest of all time maybe set the model for this. Of course, Ali. I think the most photographed man in Sports Illustrated history. And there was that classic one, which he basically invented off the top of this guy's charismatic head, whereby he was basically, oh, so how are you so fast, Ali? I'll show you. Come to the swimming pool. I trained underwater. No. But again, it's that concept of that mystique. And then, for want of a better word, selling the persona, which ultimately is what sells those tickets, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, the real diehard boxing fans, of course, they want to go and watch a proper boxing fight. You know, you're there to watch the technical ability of these boxers, you know, the jab, the footwork. You know, everyone loves seeing, you know, a hype before a fight as well. You know, it's what builds it up. But if you don't show your personality, if you don't show a bit of character to yourself, I'm not really going to be that enticed to buy a ticket off you. So there are, I totally agree with you. There are some boxers that have been advised badly, or they've listened to people whispering in their ears. It's like with any industry, you know, once you start getting a bit popular, people start telling you all these things and you start believing it. But unfortunately, it doesn't work out that way because, you know, there are a lot of backstabbers in the industry. There are a lot of people that will use you. And like you just said as well, when you're winning, they all want to be your friend. When you're losing, they all just disappear. So, you know, just a prime example, when I was working with the women, I'll use Savannah Marshall as a, she's the perfect example. She's got great banter and she's got a fantastic personality. And I was like, you need to show people that because you're actually quite funny, you know? So, you know, and then she started showing it. So she kind of listened and, you know, in some of her media interviews and her social media back and forth with other female fighters has been quite entertaining. But there's still more that these particular individuals have to do to, in order to get themselves out there.
And your personality shines through, and you know, you really have the finger on the pulse of the 360 of the boxing game, which is astonishing. What's upcoming for you? What's your next focus?
So at the moment, obviously, we've got the No Means No campaign. So that rolled out and we had support from Sky Sports Boxing and Sky Sports as well, which was fantastic. I'm ever so grateful to them. So we are just finalising. I think initially we had four gyms, but I think it may only start off with two gyms because we want to test it first. We don't want to kind of go in too big and then, you know, it kind of ends up becoming too big for all of us to kind of manage. So we've got two boxing gyms and then we're going to start rolling out some free boxing sessions for just young girls and women. We'll trial it out for the whole of August. Again, I also want to make it clear as well is that the No Means No campaign is not, it's not just about telling women that you need to learn how to box in order to defend yourself in the street, because nobody should have to feel like that.
Agreed.
But we're trying to create a source of empowerment here, you know, female empowerment, kind of everyone coming together, that you do, it builds up confidence, it builds up discipline. So,
and
you know,
are
that's
the two
ultimately
prime things, aren't they? Because I don't want to get too heavy about things, but there is, I think, a certain cultural victimhood, which actually manifests itself on literally the way that individuals walk and hold themselves. And if people can just apply, not necessarily, as you say, needing to get down to the artistry of the movement of a boxer, you don't necessarily need that, but that confidence, that body language can make such a crucial difference, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's, and I think it was a good time more than ever as well with, you know, looking at how female boxing has risen massively over the past year. So it was important for us to kind of see what we could do in bringing all of that together. So I think probably next week we will be announcing like the two gyms that have kind of come on board and they'll be offering the free sessions. So once that's done, that's done. And I can kind of leave that alone to see how it kind of plans out. And then obviously I've got, you know, I'll be going back into the sports industry because like I said, I'm taking a little bit of a break to try different things. And then we've got like the Asian sports list, which comes up as well, where we reward British Asians across every different sector in the sports industry. We like to give people like that recognition. So yeah, there's a lot going on.
Exciting times. And one, again, I love the fact that you are an ambassador because I speak to an awful lot of people just off the top of my head. We do these things with kickoff at 3:00. There's going to be a swim off at 3:00 event. And I know, for instance, that the number of BAME people who consider themselves not to be able to swim, they're not physiologically incapable, they just haven't had that role model, etc., etc., and therefore I guess it just, the cycle continues, if that makes sense. So I guess to me a little bit about how important it is that people like you, as a Asian woman, are out there visually making it clear to us all, irrespective of what it is your focus is, that we can do anything whatsoever.
I think what people need to realize is that, you know, I don't think it's just the sports industry. I think it's every industry. It happens, yep. Doesn't it? You know, there's going to be doors that will close on you. There's going to be doors that will never open in the first place. And you're going to face disappointment. You know, it's only natural. We're human beings. But what's going to get you through is that you've got to be thick skinned. Mm. You know, I say this all the time, and it is difficult when you're first starting off, because, you know, some people can be quite nasty, can't they? I've seen some nasty comments to other women, you know, especially Twitter. I like to dub it toxic Twitter. And I've looked and I thought, how can those women, you know, just accept what these people are saying to them? It's awful. But, you know, like I said, you've got to be thick skinned, you've got to be determined, and you've got to work hard. You can be the most talented person in the world, but if you don't work hard at that talent, there's absolutely no point.
Once again, those kind of values are core to all sport, but certainly seem to be coming to the fore in the No Means No project.
Absolutely. You know, it was something that unfortunately came out of a tragic, you know, incident with Sarah. I feel a bit bad mentioning her name because I don't want people to think that we're just using her name, God rest their soul, etc. But after that incident happened and the way the country kind of came together, all the women were like, enough, we've had enough of this, you know. And the fact that it was somebody from the Metropolitan Police that was employed by them that actually was capable of doing something as horrific as that. So for me, it was like, do you know what, female boxing is on the rise, you know, I'm not making any money out of this. None of the female boxers that came on board to help with the campaign and making any money. We just came together and said, we're going to do something. Mm-hmm. We're going to offer something that provides something, you know, provide something for all young girls and women. Mm-hmm. We use some of the female boxers as well to feature in the campaign because they are seen as role models.
Indeed.
So it's important to showcase the fact that if these women can do it, so can you. So it was just something that came together. And, you know, the enormity and the response has been incredibly overwhelming. And I think more so with the fact that Sky Sports Boxing and Sky Sports ended up promoting it all across their socials.
And you know what, again, because sometimes I feel as though we have a tendency to focus on the negative. I don't know if that's a British cultural thing. I don't know. It's just something I've observed. But I think Sky do have to take an awful lot of credit for an awful lot of positive things they do, actually, without necessarily making as much of a song and dance of it as their PR team may wish them to. For instance, I'm very lucky. I speak to the Mavericks, Hertfordshire-based netball team. And what Sky have done with the Vitality Netball League, in terms of, again, the support, the PR behind that, and obviously it helps when England roses at the elite level, are doing decent things, Commonwealth champions very recently. But again, you've experienced that through Sky. And I think it's so important that we acknowledge just how crucial, when positively used, our media is in raising awareness and championing vital, vital causes. Just briefly, your experiences along those lines.
I think like you just said, in terms of Sky Sports and stuff, I've got quite a great relationship with different people across different parts of the business. So with Sky Sports Boxing, I know a couple of the people there quite well. And you know, they didn't even hesitate when I said, could you help us with this and kind of get it out there? And what you've also got to remember as well is, although, you know, Matchroom Sport have now done this amazing deal with DAZN, and don't get me wrong, it looks incredible, the lineup, they have to do what they have to do to fit in what is going on in the current times now. You know, it's not just a boxing business, as it is an entertainment business.
Absolutely.
You know, they were with Sky, I think, for 25 years. Don't quote me that. It may have been longer, may have been less. But we can't forget what Sky Sports have done for the female boxers. You know, they massively got involved in helping to promote Katie Taylor as well.
Yep.
The next thing you know, you're seeing Savannah Marshall, Natasha Jonasson, Terry Harper. You know, it's a lot. This whole past, like, just year and a half has been absolutely phenomenal for female boxing. And Sky Sports have played a massive part in that. So we can't forget that.
And I think the momentum will only continue. Sadly for me, though, there is still the case that whilst the positives are strong And you are a beacon in this regard. Still, more needs to be done. We still need to shift narratives and make people much more aware of just the different array of options, possibilities. And maybe one day, I naively have a dream, we may get to something like what Dr. Martin Luther King envisaged years and years back. But just, I guess, in closing, Sonia, is there any way we can go to learn more about yourself and this phenomenal No Means No project?
So, I mean, obviously, I'm on a digital detox at the moment, but I will be coming back on. It's funny because everyone's been asking, I'm like, I'm just focusing on other stuff because I think it's important to do that. It was actually, I read a couple of famous people do it. Like, they'll just delete their WhatsApp and kind of log out of social media and then focus on other stuff. So probably within the next couple of weeks, I'll be coming back on just to kind of get stuff moving again. But you can follow the No Means No campaign by following me on Twitter at Slick Sport Agent.
Remind me of that. Hit me on that one Instagram. More time.
My Twitter is at Slick Sport Agent, and my Instagram is Slick Sport Consultancy.
Brilliant. Hit me up final time with those two best ways to engage with you just as soon as you get off that detox and back in the world. I'm sure you've got an awful lot of people looking to learn more about you, Sonia. Just one more time, your Twitter and your Insta.
My Twitter is at Slick Sport Agent, and my Instagram is at Slick Sport Consultancy.
Perfect. I've got to say, it's been a genuine pleasure to enjoy your company. Is there anything in closing you'd like to add, to reaffirm, or just to, you know, introduce to me?
I just want to say thank you very much for giving me a platform. I'm always grateful to every platform that, you know, obviously gives me a chance to kind of share my experiences and my stories. Just basically, yeah, just when I'm back on, follow the No Means No campaign, and also pay attention to other stuff that's going to be coming up, because we've got some exciting few months coming up.
I tell you what, it's an exciting time. I think you are leading the way. Sonia, it's been an honor and a privilege to enjoy your company. I wish you every continued joy, success, and happiness. And thank you once again for being with me today.
Oh, thank you, Tony.